This is Fresh Air. Last week, our book critic John Leonard praised a new collection of short stories called Sleepwalker in a Fog by the Russian writer Tatiana Tolstoya. We invited Tolstoya to talk with us about her writing, the dissolution of her country, and about her illustrious family. Tolstoya is the great-grandniece of Leo Tolstoy and the granddaughter of Alexei Tolstoy. She's temporarily living in the United States, teaching at Goucher College. She's written several articles about the Soviet Union for the New Republic and the New York Review of Books. I asked Tolstoya how she feels about the end of the Soviet Union.
I feel very bad about it, to say the least, because what was Soviet Union? Soviet Union, for me, from my perspective, was a sort of an extended Russia, which included lots of hundreds of nations and cultures, people living together. And you couldn't tell where Russia ends and some other people starts, because our cultures, they somehow penetrated each other, they influenced each other. Some people who are not interested in any culture, any cultural event, they felt certain hostility towards each other, they were xenophobic. But I was not. I actually enjoyed living in the middle of all these cultures that are mixed, about the way you perhaps enjoy when you live in America, in New York, especially, where you can see all colors, all nations, hear all languages. And it really, it makes your life richer, more interesting. Now, with this process of the disintegration, what is going on is that each people becomes extremely xenophobic. And people turn against their own neighbors and imagine families where parents are of different origin, they come from different cultures, so the families fell apart and children don't know what to do with their self-identity. It's a really sad process. There's nothing good in it.
You've been living in the United States recently, teaching here. Do you feel like this is a good time to be living outside of Russia, or do you wish that you were there to witness the changes?
Well, in August, I wished I were there because there were some real changes, and there were first frightening days during the coup that lasted 3 days, 19th of August and 20th, 21st. And then after that, I guess they were the happiest days in Russia, because suddenly lots of people called me from Moscow, those who never called me before. They took the pain of dialing my number. It's very difficult to call United States just because the telephone doesn't work properly and the lines are busy. Just to laugh happily and to tell me that, look, we now live in a free country and it's such a pleasure, such a pleasure. And there was just happy laughter there on that side of the line. So I envied them unbelievably. I wanted to be there. I wanted to witness all this happiness. I want to feel that happiness. I wanted to stay there. After that, some months passed, and as far as I know, everything became, again, gloomy, and people didn't know what to think, what to do, and they said, well, nothing actually happened. And I worry about them all the time. So, again, I have some contradictory feelings. I would like both to be there and to stay away from there.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Tatiana Tolstoya. She is a Russian writer with a new collection of stories called Sleepwalker in a Fog. You're from a very illustrious literary family, and because of that, it would be hard to just blend into the background like a lot of people in the Soviet Union had tried to do, I think. I was wondering if you think that your literary heritage made it any easier or more difficult for the family in the communist Soviet Union, and if your family was on the ins or the outs with the party.
I think that it worked both ways. It was both more difficult and less difficult being representing something, being, well, as my grandfather was a well-known writer, but there was an element of pure luck that he was not destroyed by Stalin, by the regime. So it's really difficult to say. He was very close to the authorities in the 30s, but the closer you come to the devil, the more dangerous it becomes. So you really don't know what is better, to stay away or to stay close. But no relative of mine has ever been a member of the party. They never messed up with this organization. It was quite possible to stay away from the party. And there is a great misunderstanding in the West that all people had to join the party if they wanted to survive, to get apartments, to make the career. It was not exactly like that. It was not exactly that way.
I'm wondering if any of the Tolstoys were studied in your classes when you were in school, and if a fuss was made about you when you were reading a Tolstoy book.
No great fuss, because somehow I always was pointed at, so to say. Or they always pointed their finger at me because of my family name. But there was no great fuss. There was some misunderstanding of what our family is and how we live and whatever happens inside the family. But I didn't feel that way. Perhaps there was some conversation of people behind my back, I don't know. But I never felt that way because I never thought of my literary relatives as of people, some special people. It was just a part of the family, it was a part of my world, and that was that.
When you say there were misconceptions about your family, what kind of misconceptions?
Well, for example, there was a legend that our family is unbelievably rich, and it was wrong. The thing is that Alexei Tolstoy, my grandfather, he once in late 30s or about that time was pretty well off. And he divorced his wife, my grandmother, and they became two separate families. He continued being well off, and our part of the family was not rich at all. We were closer to the poor end, though much better than other families whom I met. But there are always legends about some famous person. They believe that he lives like a king. So this idea of my grandfather being rich was transferred to our family, and there were some funny misunderstandings. For example, I remember a girl whom I barely knew in one of the grades, the highest grades in the high school. She approached me and said, just casually, you must have lots of jewels around your house. Could you bring some? I want to make buttons for my coat. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Our family, we have seven children. My parents have seven children. And I'm right in the middle. So I was the one who always had clothes after my elder brothers and sisters. So that's the way we lived. We were very casual in this respect. The money we had, my parents wanted to spend this money on our education because they wanted all of us speak three foreign languages. It was rather difficult, and no one speaks three languages, but most of us speak two, French and English. So all the money my father earned was spent on the education, on buying books, on going somewhere, traveling perhaps around the country. Not much, but still. And not on clothes or, God, no, I didn't know what a jewel is until I saw it in a big shop somewhere in Moscow.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Russian writer Tatiana Tolstoya, and she has a new collection of short stories called Sleepwalker in a Fog. We're going to take a short break, then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Russian writer Tatiana Tolstoya. Now, you graduated from college in the early 70s, I think it was around 1972. And
It was 74, actually.
74, thank you. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there were many intellectuals who were also dissidents. Many dissidents were trying to leave the Soviet Union. I'm wondering where you saw yourself fitting in at the time when you were getting out of college and trying to figure out what your next move was going to be.
There was no question of fitting in, by the way. There was no question of that, because I didn't see myself making any career. So I started working in a publishing house. It was just turned out that it's a nice job because you don't have to go to the office every day. So it gave me plenty of free time. I married at that time, and very soon I had two kids, so I was quite happy at home with my kids and with my family and with lots of friends that I happened to have, just a little bit of working and a lot of reading. What was always my passion was reading, 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 reading.
Were you writing?
No.
When did you start to write?
In 83.
That's pretty late for a writer.
Oh, yes, it's late.
What got you going?
I don't know. I don't know, really. I think I was tired of this endless reading, and I couldn't find a text that would suit me perfectly. And at a certain moment, I just decided to write this text myself. So that's how I did that.
And you started writing stories?
Yes, short stories.
Did you get published right away in Russia?
Yes, strangely enough. My first story was published in a little magazine in Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg. And it was noted by virtually no one except some readers. We have wonderful readers. We used to have wonderful readers. Imagine, no one, no writer, no literary critic, no one absolutely noticed that story, though the magazine was very widespread. They didn't care. But the readers started writing letter after letter, saying very, very good words about my very short story, which was surprising and really nice. I really felt some support, some invisible support from invisible people. And then the second story was published again with no reaction from the literary world, but with a great reaction from readers. And only when I managed to publish one of my stories, which was in 86, in a very big and very well-known literary magazine, then suddenly the literary surrounding woke up and started searching for my other stories, which were here on the surface, but they just didn't notice them. So it was really strange.
I want to get back to something you just said. You said we used to have wonderful readers in the Soviet Union. Has reading changed?
Yes, they say yes. Because I'm interested in what is going on there in this respect, and I ask everyone who returns from Soviet Union to tell me about that. Somehow, readers stopped being interested in good reading. Somehow their vision has changed. They became extremely politicized, and they are much more interested in journalism than in just literature. And if such a big literary magazine as one that is called The New World, Novy Mir, if it reached about 2 million of copies 3 years ago, now this amount fell to the bottom line of about 50,000, I guess.
Since you've been living in the United States, you've been writing some journalism published in The New Republic and The New York Review of Books, yet your short stories really aren't political at all.
Yes, they are not political. Though some people think that they have some political implications, and it's possible to regard them that way, but I don't mean anything political. I'm mostly interested in lives and feelings of common people.
I was wondering if maybe you started off writing stories that weren't political because you started off publishing at a time when it still would have been difficult to get overtly political stories published.
I think that the direct political influence on a text spoils the text. The text becomes very... how should I say? No, let me say again.
Doctrinaire?
No, ephemeral, I want to say that.
Oh,
it's, yeah. It lives for one day. The text that has to do with politics lives for one day. Well, a week, 10 years, but it's still one day. And the text that is about, which is a piece of art, let us say, which is about some eternal feelings, it lives forever. The text that deals with politics but is written beautifully may survive millenniums, but a purely political text with no beauty will be thrown away as yesterday's newspaper. So I was never interested in politics in this respect. It's interesting to read a newspaper, but it's not interesting for me to write about it.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Tatiana Tolstoya's new collection of short stories is Sleepwalker in a Fog. She'll be reading from her book this week in Philadelphia and next week in Rockville, Maryland and Washington, D.C.